reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Well, Menominee leads 30-21 over the Altoona Railroaders here at halftime. And Menominee has just played a simply fast-paced game. They have run up the court every chance they get. They've been playing a high full-court press. And this has been a game where they are not afraid to show why they are the big school.
They've led by as many as 10 briefly, and Menominee with a 9-point lead at the break. Altoona, if they can Altoona get back into this game? Absolutely. They actually have 21 points, which for Altoona in the first half is slightly above what they usually do, but they got to get some of the stops. They got to play cleaner, particularly on the offensive side. They got to stop turning it over. And as we'll mention here in a moment, when they get those defensive stops, they've got to get the rebound, because way too many second or third chance opportunities for Menominee. That's been the difference. Menominee, what they want to do is score in the lane. They have peppered the lane with scoring chances. They are dominating underneath, both in opportunities and in rebounds. And Altoona's got to figure out a way to hold back Menominee in that lane.
Well, why don't you run us through some of those statistics for the first half?
Well, overall in that first half, Altoona shot just 32% from the field. You'd like to see that around 40. Menominee shot 38% from the field. Here's the kicker, though. Menominee got 7 more shots off than Altoona did. Why is that? Menominee had 8 offensive rebounds in that first half. 8 offensive rebounds. Altoona had 11 defensive rebounds, so almost as many offensive rebounds as Altoona had defensive rebounds. That's a big factor in this game thus far. Menominee's hit 2 3-pointers. Altoona's hit 3 3-pointers. For Altoona to come back, hopefully they can bury a couple more. We'll see if Lily Duquesne gets going in that second half. She's passed up a number of shots in this one thus far. Tyra Swanson's team daring her to take a shot. We saw her get hot against Bloomer. We'll see if Duquesne does so again tonight in the second half. Menominee led by Sierra Auth, who's got 7 points. Reese Barfneck, who's got 7 points. And Brooklyn Burt, who's got 8 points. For Altoona, Braylon Cyberling has 7. And off the bench, Jasmine Klicka has 5.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get set for the second half when we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at ECHometownRadio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at ECHometownRadio.com.
The best place to go for the best local content is echometownradio.com. There you'll find dozens of local podcasts covering everything from news to sports to dogs and even beer. echometownradio.com is the place to hear from people right here in the Chippewa Valley talk about what matters to you. New podcasts dropping daily. That's echometownradio.com. And look for them on Spotify.
Sports Talk Radio is flooded with opinions.
Blah, blah, blah.
So why not cleanse the palate a little with something different? Check out the Let the Kids Play podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. Get the opinion on the latest sports news from the perspective of a 13-year-old. Join Derek Montesano every week for his opinion on what is happening in sports. Let the Kids Play. Heard only at echometownradio.com. We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series. Heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at echometownradio.com.
The teams are back on the court, and it's time for tonight's second half. Let's head back to the gym, and with play-by-play, it's Scott Montesano.
Well, you got Derek Montesano for today's edition of basketball. Derek Montesano here with you for the second half, about to get underway in a minute. And, well, when it comes to Altoona, there's a few things that can be said. One is their own defensive glass. They have been practically dominated and nearly out-rebound on their own defensive board by Menominee, as well as Menominee's numerous turnaround and run up the court chances, as Matt Seiberling has come to meet us up here. So,
well, the Altoona Railroaders, if they're going to get back into this game, need a good start to this second half, as they're down by nine. If they can have a good start to this one, the big thing I think for Altoona is, again, you got the best way to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. They're down by nine, trying to maintain keeping it single digits. Can you eventually get it down to six, get it down to five, get it down to four, and have a shot in the last 5 minutes of this one? By the way, our next coverage of high school basketball here on 93.5 in Eau Claire Hometown Media will be Tuesday night, right back here in Altoona. We'll have boys action, Altoona boys in a conference game against Prescott. That is on Tuesday night.
Well, here we go for the second half. Menominee will start with the basketball. Courtney Greeley will dribble it over the Altoona logo at center court. Bounces it to Burt just outside the paint. Looking for a high pass to Sierra off on the far side of the hoop. No, intercepted by Addie Seiberling. Now in the corner with Emma Lima. She'll stop, hand it off to Braylon Seiberling's three. No good, and the rebound by Brooklyn Burt, who quickly runs it up, passes to Sierra off, who was driving wide open. Her layup no good, and Altoona will get it. Altoona playing a bit slower than Menominee wanting to run up the court really fast. Addie Seiberling near side three, got it. Addie Seiberling with a big near side three.
Addie Seiberling hit a three ball in the game's opening minute. She'd been quiet since then, but again, she can be like a microwave. She can get going in a hurry.
Just 1 minute has passed here in the second half, and Courtney Greeley with the basketball up by six. She'll pass it to Barfnek, who will dribble it out between the wheels. Now with it, Sierra off, near side. Bounces it into the paint for Brooklyn Burt. Back to Barfnek, who will drive in the paint, stop, passes it out to off to Greeley, corner three, off the backboard, no. Rebound snagged by Duquesne, defended against by Brooklyn Burr.
Well, Altoona with a couple of big defensive rebounds in this second half after their rebounding in the first half was quite skibbity.
Oh, no, not the skibbity thing. He finally had learned what that had meant, and I'm pretty sure my sister just face-palmed herself in the back at home.
But that's true, though. The rebounding for Altoona was very bad. Skibbity, as the young ones say now, in the first half. But so far, a couple of nice defensive rebounds. Now, again, they turn the ball over, and Menominee's got it.
But Altoona will get it right back as Addie Seibling rips it free. Now she runs up the court fast. She can't get the shot to go, but she gets the foul.
There is the senior experience for Addie Seibling. Runs up the floor. It's one against two. Knows she's likely not going to score, but leans in, gets the contact on Sierra Auth, and earns a couple of free throws.
Yep, and the first one up for Seibling will roll on out as it went front rim, backboard, and off to the side.
Of course, the free throws only work if you're able to make them and maybe get a little help from the basket elf on your home floor.
As the second shot from Addie Seibling bounces around, and there's the help from the basket elf as it will fall. 15:57 to go in the second half. Menominee leading by 5, 30-25. Ullman driving into the... Stops, passes out for Burt. Near side three, she gets it. Brooklyn Burt with a three to extend the lead up to 8.
And that's why Burt's so good there. They needed a big shot, and she hit it for him. And she's up to 11 points in the game now.
Addie Seibling looking into the paint for Duquesne. Can't find a way to drive through. Looking for Emma Lima in the near side corner. Pass doesn't connect, though. And they'll say this ball will stay with Altoona. I guess they say it was tipped out by a Menominee defender. Racina to inbound, 15:24, still to play. So plenty of time for Altoona to come back in this one. Raylan Seibling driving it, bounces it to Emma Lima on the near side. Played around in the top of the key. Looking for a pass underneath for Bastida. She gets it ripped away from her by Courtney Gridley. And now back the other way, Brooklyn Burt finds herself underneath the hoop for a layup. That's just what Brooklyn Burt does. She uses her size and she hits big threes. And we're going to get a foul here in the Altoona backcourt.
As you look at Altoona, they came out of the halftime break, brought the deficit down to 5, but in the length of a mouse's fart, the lead back up to 10 for Menominee.
Yep, Menominee back up to that game high of 10, leading 35-25 as Lily Duquesne gets it ripped away by Reese Barfneck, but her layup attempt no good. Offensive rebound no good. Another offensive rebound, and Courtney Greeley finally gets the put back home, and we're going to get a timeout on the floor by Altoona. Menominee up to a new game high with 14:34 to go, leading 37-25 when we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at ECHometownRadio.com. That's ECHometownRadio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at ECHometownRadio.com.
.34 to play in this one. Menominee up 37-25, and this one is getting close to getting out of hand here if Altoona is not careful. Remember, they had come into the second half and cut the lead down to just 5, but Menominee has turned around and gone on a run. So Altoona inbounds going right to left. Braylon Seibling trying to beat the full court press that Menominee's had set up. She gets double-teamed, finds a bounce pass to Kennedy Berg. Now into the paint, Lily Duquesne. Finds the far side corner, Addie Seiberling. To her sister, Braylon Seiberling, three, got it. Braylon Seiberling from the far side wing. And the lead cut down to 9 at 37-28.
Braylon Seiberling up to 10 points in the game.
Oh, right back the other way, Jordan Ullman with a practically untouched layup into the hoop. So now the lead back up to 11 at 39-28. Altoona with it. Kennedy Burke to Lily Duquesne in the corner. She'll dribble it out and pass to Addie Seiberling for three. No good. Offensive rebound, Braylon Seiberling. She waits on the far side of the hoop. Now kicks it up top for Kennedy Burke. To Lily Duquesne starts a drive. Back to Kennedy Burke, who tries to drive baseline extended, but is fouled.
Heard us mention a moment ago, Jordan Ullman scoring for Menominee. She's had an outstanding start to her sophomore campaign, really popping as a sophomore, but was quiet in that first half because she picked up two quick fouls. But expect to see her get a good run now in the second half.
Yeah, we'll see as Altoona will inbound underneath the opposing hoop. Clicku just checked in, looking for a long jumper. That shot off the backboard, no. 13-17 still to play in this one. Menominee leading by 11, 39-28. And Menominee works it around to Barfnack. Over to Ullman. Ullman stops at the free throw line, then passes to Reese Barfnack, has it driving in the lane. Now passes to Jordan Ullman, long jumper. That one unsuccessful, and the rebound grabbed by Addie Seiberling. With a burst of speed the other way, she drives. Kicks up a wild layup, and it goes off the side rim, no.
She tried to lean in and draw contact on Ullman. Ullman held her ground. No foul was given.
As now, Menominee the other way. Long three coming from Ullman, no good. Scramble on the deck for the rebound. We're going to get a held ball situation.
It'll go back to Altoona, but another rebound that became a 50-50 proposition. And while Altoona maintains possession, they give up the arrow. Altoona's still kind of hanging around here with 12:31 left. Menominee's had really control of this game right from the get-go, but Altoona's just a three-minute spurt away from being right back in. At the same time, they're also a three-minute spurt from being blown out.
As Altoona trying to work the ball, the court ball tipped out of bounds by Cortland Greeley.
This game's been sort of hanging on the lip really ever since maybe the last 9 minutes of the first half. Altoona's still kind of clinging.
As a bad inbound pass from Bressino, looking for Braylon Seiberling, intercepted by Greeley, who runs under the hoop, passes it off to Ullman, and she'll lay it up and in. And now the game's up to 13 points, another new game high for Menominee. Altoona with it, Bressine on the far side corner. Now Braylon Seiberling top, the key to Addie Seiberling. As that starts to drive into the lane, looking for an underneath pass to her sister, Braylon Seiberling. Her effort no good, and the rebound snagged by Menominee. Altoona now high pressing with two players. Sierra off with it on the near side, looking for Ullman, but her pass intercepted. Now a lofted up pass by Addie Seiberling, intercepted by Ullman, and going back in is Jordan Ullman, and kicking in a jumper.
Hey, despite being on the bench the last half of the first half, Ullman's up to 10 points in this game, and her run here in the second half has kind of broken this wide open in favor of Menominee. A foul on Menominee in the backcourt, Altoona will maintain possession. But here's the thing for Altoona. They knew going in this is going to be a tough task. Now down 15, they're undersized. Physically, they're undersized against this Menominee team. But the hope is it'll sharpen them even more for the Middle Borders Conference play, and four straight conference games begin next week.
Yeah, sometimes to be able to beat your own level, you gotta find someone at a bit of a higher level, and that's what Altoona is receiving here. 11 minutes to go, Menominee up 43-28. Braylon Starling backs off a defender. Passes the click on the far side. Back to Braylon Starling, near side three. Off the front rim, no, and the rebound grabbed by Menominee. Ellie Haas will pass it over to Jordan Omen. Omen dribbles it top of the key. Bounces it, 1-2 passing with what looks to be Emmy Marlett. And that is just great passing by those two. Altoona quickly the other way now. Klicka with a long three. That one's airballed. Tipped off a Menominee player and saved, though. Allie Haas, the one that it deflected off. Now Menominee with the basketball, up by a new game high of 17 points. Now in the far corner, long three for Brooklyn Sterry, no good. Rebound on the deck, Allie Haas gets the offensive rebound. She's got it on the near side corner, but she travels. Allie Haas had the ball in the near corner, but took a few too many steps with it in her hands. And Altoona with the basketball with 9:57 to go, trailing by 17. And, well, this is that short spurt that could really blow a team out, as this one is maybe a couple shots away from getting really out of hand for Altoona, as the ball will be re-inbounded here on the near side, on the near sideline by Addie Cyberling. She'll pass it in for Klicka. Klicka trying to beat the full court press. She cannot, though, and gives it away to Omen. Omen into the corner for Greeley. Greeley looking to the far side for Allie Haas, but that one tipped out of bounds by an Altoona defender. Still 9:45 to go in this one, and what are you going to say about this one? We kind of expected it for Altoona, so not much to be honest here, as we've got a little bit of confusion here. It'll stay Menominee basketball as it was tipped out by Altoona. Barfnecht will inbound underneath the Altoona hoop. She'll pass it out to Marlett. Marlett gets it stolen away on a pass to Brooklyn Bird underneath the hoop, but immediately just flicked out of Emma Lima's hands, who had nearly gotten the pick away. They'll say it will be with Altoona. I thought it went out on Lima, but Altoona basketball said, oh, no. Lily Duquesne looking for a pass in the near side, Kennedy Berg, and she overshot her.
Again, for Altoona, the full court press giving them problems when they've been sped up today. It's been giving them problems. So a lot that Michelle Poplinski's team is learning here today, it's rough on the scoreboard right now, but they're learning a lot about some of the weaknesses they still have to tidy up before you get into the heart of the regular season starting next week.
Yeah, it's a three ball from Allie Haas, no good, and we're going to get a foul back going back the other way with Altoona. It'll be on Cortland Greeley. That'll be her second foul with 9:09 to go.
Now, the thing is for Altoona, there's only so much you can do about size. I mean, you can't plant any seeds underneath the feet and water them. So there's only so much Altoona could do about the size, the fact that they're undersized against a team like Menominee. But going back, watching the video tonight, can they find openings, things that they can do differently to clean things up against teams that will be more their size starting again next week? As we get a wedgy situation, a three from the left corner by Brasina for Altoona gets stuck between the basket and the glass. Well, wedgy.
How about that? It just gets wedged right in there. And now we have a little bit of a delay here while they try to get the ball down with another ball. It's not quite working out, though. Three attempts, and it's still not come down for the officials. Four attempts. And on the fifth attempt with the second ball, it does fall. So with 8:57 to go, we have one wedgie on the wedgie counter.
Yeah, they kept that up here, my kingdom for the back end of a broomstick. Just when there wasn't a broomstick handle to be found in this gymnasium when you needed it.
Well, now Menominee with the basketball, up by 17 points. Allie Haas has it on the far side. Finds Brooklyn Burt in the paint. She'll kick it out for Barfnecht. tries to go into the paint, but she travels. That's now two travels in a row for this Menominee team.
A thing for Altoona, if they were going to pull this off tonight, they were going to have to hit some threes tonight. They had, in the second half alone, they're 2 foot here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. They're 2 for 8 from three-point land in the second half.
Yeah, that's just simply not going to help you. As Kennedy Berg drives in, passes it out. Braylon and Addie Seibeling pass it around. Seibeling, three from the corner, no good.
And she's been off tonight. She's hit a couple of threes to open up the first and second half, but has never heated up tonight.
As underneath the hoop, Allie Haas will put in a layup, and a new game high is set once again at 19 points with 8 minutes to go. Braylon Seibeling will dribble it up, passes to Kennedy Bird. Now Lily Duquesne, top of the key. Now Braylon Seibeling on the far side wing. She'll start to drive. Stops. Now passes to her sister, Addie Seibeling, near side. She goes in for the layup. No good. Nearly out of bounds, but Braylon Seibeling cleans up. Back to Addie Seibeling underneath the hoop. No good. Offensive rebound. No good again. And the rebound grabbed by Emmy Marlett, but she got met up by Kennedy Berg. And on the alternating possession arrow, given by the held ball situation, Altoona will get the ball.
This is one of the rare times all year where Altoona's been heavily outscored in the second half.
Yep.
Menominee's got a 17-7 advantage in the second half scoring.
Yeah, they just haven't gotten that big run they tend to get in the second half, as Lily Duquesne misreads where Priscina was going and throws the ball behind her out of bounds on the far side. Well, yeah, what are you going to say about this? But sometimes a good match, a very good opponent, can be what strengthens you for some later conference matchups for this Altoona team.
You know, when you look at this Menominee team, by the way, they're 2-1 in the very strong BRC.
As underneath the hoop, Amanda Holzhauer checked into the game. Her layup no good. And now on the ensuing rebound, bounced around off a player's foot and on the deck, resulting in a held ball once again. Possession arrow points in favor of Menominee.
One would figure Menominee's right up there with Memorial again and Hudson competing for that BRC crown and then perhaps a very strong seed in the postseason. This, again, people tend to overlook, yeah, when they think Menominee, they always know about football, but the girls basketball program for the better part of the last 10 or so years has been more often than not a very strong program.
As Braylon Stiverling starts to drive in from the far side, waiting, looking for a pass, gets it knocked out of her hands by Brooklyn Burt. 6.5 minutes to go in this one, and Menominee's run away with it, up 19, 47-28, as Greeley tries to drive baseline extended. No good, and Eddie Seibeling tries to keep it in bounds by throwing it off Amanda Holzhauer. They will say, though, it will. Keep it with Menominee.
Yeah, they're going to say that Eddie Seibeling tried the hustle play there, but she had her foot on the line when she touched the ball to begin with.
As ball grabbed by Allman underneath for Burt, but no good. Offensive rebound once again from Menominee, and Brooklyn Burt puts in the putback.
Burt's up to 15 points for Menominee.
Amber Bressina quickly the other way, and she puts in a short jumper.
Ambrosina's got 5.
And now Reese Barfneck, wide open corner three on the far side. No good, and Lily Duquesne will grab the defensive rebound. It was, for a short moment, a 21-point game for Menominee, but Altoona's put it back at 19 at 49-30 with 5.5 to go. Braylon Seibeling. Now to Lily Duquesne on the near side. Addie Seibeling, one more extended. She'll drive in to the paint. Finds Amber Bressina on the hoop. Back to Addie Seibeling. Far side three, no good, and the ball will bounce on out of bounds.
Yeah, a tough shooting night for Addie Seibeling, and the key will be for her. Shake it off, come right back on Saturday against the Wisconsin Dells program.
As we will have a timeout on the court, 5:20 still to play in this one. Menominee leading 49-30 when we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
Well, Derek Montano, 5:20 still to play in this ball game. Menominee has pretty much run away with it at this point, leading 49-30. And Altoona, well, they just kind of got burnt today. The full court press kind of caught them off, and then the quick, fast pace, especially in the first half from Menominee, turning around and going back the other way, has really burnt them today. Well, Menominee with the basketball coming out of the timeout. Ullman will pass it to Holzhauer, top of the key. Now with off. Back to Ullman. Now Burt. Burt trying to drive in, loses the hand on the ball, and picked up by Brescina. Brescina trying to go back the other way, gets it. She gets it knocked out of her hands by Sierra. Off. It'll stay Altoona basketball.
Now Menominee is going to go to 2-0 against Middle Border Conference teams. They edged Baldwin Woodville earlier this year.
As Addie Seibeling, far side corner three, no good. Rebound picked up by Quicka for Altoona. Braylon Seibeling out to Amber Brestine on the far side. Back to Braylon Seibeling between the wheels. To Quicka near side. Quicka drives into the paint. Puts up a layup attempt, no good. And the rebound picked up by Menominee is Brooklyn Burt. She goes back the other way with some speed to Ullman. Ullman drives into the paint, and her effort too strong.
I'll tell you right now, keep that name in the back of your heads, everybody. Jordan Ullman, she's going to be a star in this area as a junior and a senior. She's already very, very good. She's going to be overshadowed by other seniors and juniors. But she'll get her moment in the spotlight in the next couple of years as she gets older and older. She's already one of the top scorers in the BRC for, again, Menominee first-year head coach Tyra Swanson, who, as I mentioned before, played for the Blue Goals just a few years ago. She was a member of back-to-back NCAA tournament teams. Started her career at the Division II level, a native of Menominee. Came back home, played for the Blue Golds.
As Amber Brestina hits a three from the far side wing. And the lead now cut to 16 points with 3:40 to go. 49-33. Brooklyn Burt, top of the key. She'll start to drive. Away from Brestina. Puts up a layup, no good. Rebound on the deck. Grabbed by Brestina in the near corner. She tried to get the ball to Braylon Seibeling after getting triple teamed in the corner. The ball, they say it bounced off a Menominee player, so it will stay Altoona basketball.
Really what you want to see on both sides, if you're Tyra Swanson or you're Michelle Poplinski, neither one of these teams have played a lot in the last 2.5 weeks with the holidays. For Menominee, they didn't play at all since December 20th, is... You want to hit the tape here. The outcome of this game has long since been decided. But with 3 minutes left, you want to hit the tape here, play strong, don't create any bad habits, all that sort of thing.
As we're going to get a foul here on Allie Haas, non-shooting foul, so the ball will be inbounded underneath the Menominee hoop. 3:07 still to play, and quickly on a quick drive, baseline extended, is Amber Brescina who will lay it up and in.
And the way I look at this game, there really isn't any sort of garbage time, if you will. Menominee has not relaxed the muscles at all. Brescina up to 10 points in this game, by the way, with that baseline drive.
Barf next. Now with it, Marlett to Haas. Haas on the near side drives to the middle. Speaking of Marlett, her and Greeley play a catch as she drives into the paint, and she'll take a foul on the way to the hoop.
Oddly enough, that foul on Emma Lima, that's the first foul that Altoona has on them in this whole second half. That's a statistical anomaly when you consider how much pressure Menominee has put on Altoona in the paint in this one. Well, there's another foul on Altoona. Altoona's arguing that Lily Duquesne had a clean block on Allie Haas, but they're going to send Haas to the line. But until there was 2.5 minutes left in the second half, Altoona had not committed a foul in this half.
Yeah, that's still one of the craziest things. 15.5 minutes of straight zero foul basketball as Allie Haas makes the first free throw.
Reminder, we're back with you on Tuesday night. We'll be back here in Altoona. Altoona boys against Prescott in a Middle Borders Conference matchup. And then we've got Memorial against Rice Lake in boys basketball next Friday night.
As Duquesne with the basketball, trying to float it out for Emma Lima, top of the key, gets it batted away by Cortland Greeley. Now a scramble for the ball on the near side, picked up by Altoona, who will move it up. As Cortland Greeley tried to save it, and now back the other way, an errant pass looking for Emma Lima in the paint goes out of her reach.
And it looks like Michelle Poplinski is going to do the old line change here, so Michelle Poplinski is going to bring on the whole second team squad, and Tyra Swanson is doing the same. She had already taken some of her main starters out. Now she brings in another player off the bench. So the last 2 minutes, it will be played by the benches with Menominee up 51-35.
Yep, here we go now with the bench warmers here as Emma Marlett tried to drive into the lane, but her effort knocked away by a Altoona defender.
You know what the thing is, as I always say, these players, some do see runs in the middle of games, but for a lot of them, they don't see an awful lot of time, but they put it on the same amount of practice, so this is a big moment for them, an opportunity to get a full 2 minutes of game action.
As Holzhauer's shot no good, and back the other way, Altoona trying a long stretch pass, intercepted. Now Sturry. Into the corner now, Haas. Haas driving into the paint, baseline extended, and she puts it a layup. Under 90 seconds to go in this one. Menominee leading 53-35. Plannert with it on the near side into Kleinschmidt. Now to the corner for Hansen. Now Piper Anderson up to Kleinschmidt, near side wing. Kleinschmidt spinning around, passes to Plannert. Now in the corner for Hansen. Her pass looking for Callie Planner, driving into the lane, knocked away by Allie Haas. Just under a minute still to play. 53-35. Menominee still leading. Piper Anderson will inbound underneath the hoop. Her inbound pass was looking for Jasmine Klicka on the opposite side of the hoop. It was knocked away immediately, and another inbound pass looming for Altoona. Ivor Anderson again to inbound, flings it high to the three-point line for Kleinschmidt. Kleinschmidt drives into the lane. Her effort too strong off the glass, and the rebound grabbed by Holzhauer for Menominee. Greeley looking to the near side for Emmy Marlett, but Marlett wasn't paying attention to that, and Greeley throws it behind her. 47.2 to go. Still in this one, as Jasmine Klicka will dribble it up. Piper Anderson between the wheels, starts to drive, but loses the handle on the ball to Brooklyn Sturry. Into the far side for Emmy Marlett. Marlett. Now Holzhauer will hold it. Allie Haas in the corner. Now back to the near side wing.
Oldtown with it. 15 seconds still to go. Greeley, back into the corner, far side corner now. Marlin dribbles it up to Holtower. 5 seconds will tick away, and I think Menominee's content with just letting the clock tick out. And that's the ball game. The Menominee Mustangs defeat the Altoona Railroaders by a score of 53-35. When we come back, we'll recap this entire game when we come back at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
Well, a bit of a humbler here for Altoona as they take an 18-point loss to Menominee, 53-35. Altoona, well, they kind of knew that it was going to be a tough one coming into this, playing against a division above. And, well, Menominee showed why they are a Division II opponent.
Yeah, Menominee led pretty much throughout this game tonight. The game stayed around that 7-9 point margin for most of the first half. Went into the halftime break. Altoona was down by 10. They quickly came out of the dressing room, brought the deficit down to 5, and seemed like they were right back in this game. But Menominee countered on a 7-0 run, never looked back, built the lead up to 21 at one point in this game, and Menominee goes on and wins. But for Altoona, they knew it was going to be a tough challenge taking on a team that physically is bigger than them. What you hope is pressure always shows where the cracks are. Now you see where the cracks are. Are you able to fill those cracks up? Looking back at the game on video, and then when you get back into conference play starting next week, really take the lessons you learned in this one and go full steam ahead.
Yeah, this is like that very difficult class that you have. If you take it, you'll eventually learn a lot from it.
Oh, you can't get lazy. As you said, that harder class, you learn, all right, what study methods work, what type of time commitment do you have to put into it. You can't just show up and coast your way through. And the same sort of thing here. And I think Altoona saw it. That full court press hurt them. That when they got sped up, they weren't in the right spots. A lot of balls off hands, a lot of turnovers, a lot of unforced errors that were brought forth by Menominee in this game.
Yeah, a lot to be shown. Well, why don't you run us through a few of those stats?
Well, as we mentioned, and we won't go through the full numbers here, but Menominee dominated in the paint. They used that size. Menominee dominated, particularly in the first half, the boards, namely the offensive boards. They were getting 2-3 kicks of the can nearly every offensive possession, and that would continue into the second half. So when Altoona would get a stop, they weren't able to clear that rebound, and if they were going to pull off the upset, if you will, that's one of the things you just cannot allow the opponent, like Menominee, multiple chances. Also, Altoona, if they were going to win this game, was going to have to hit those shots beyond the arc. They're not necessarily a great three-point shooting team, but we've seen them get hot in spurts this year. That never came in tonight's game. Menominee was led by Brooklyn Burt. She had 20. Jordan Allman had 12, even though she was saddled with foul trouble in that first half. Also, Allie Huss had 9. For Altoona, Amber Bracina had 11. Braylon Siverling had 10. Menominee now 5-5 overall. Altoona drops to 5-5 themselves, heading into another non-conference game against Wisconsin Dells on Saturday before Middle Border Conference action gets going again in full earnest starting next week.
Yep, still much to come for Altoona. Well, that should about do it for the...
Oh, we want to remind everybody of our next game.
Oh, yeah, a reminder. We got boys basketball coming up with Altoona as they take on Prescott here at Altoona High School.
Yep, that'll be on Tuesday night. We'll have Altoona against Prescott in boys basketball. And then next Friday night, it'll be Memorial against Rice Lake. And again, all those games right here on 93.5 NECHometownRadio.com.
Well, that should do it. On behalf of everybody that made this broadcast possible, and on behalf of my dad, Scott Montesato, I'm saying that there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until Tuesday night, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
And I need my package yesterday. And right, like if we could as a country be more thoughtful of community in the way the Bad River people and other Native peoples are, boy, we would be making America great again.
Yeah, perfect. Hey, we are here with Mary Mazzio, the director of an award filmmaker. And we're talking about Bad River, but we're talking about a lot of things that have to do with this documentary, this great documentary. And we're going to, you know, talk a little more. We're so, so excited to have you on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Wow, we are kicking butt here on Native Roots Radio. We have Mary Mazzio, a director and writer of the documentary Bad River, and we are just touching the surface here of this great documentary
that can be seen soon on Peacock and in November 1st. Welcome back, Mary. And I want to kind of direct this question about the crust of the documentary, and then talk about the importance about, you know, addressing this Enbridge thing and their pipeline struggle with Line 5. We've had it here, and the Bad River Reservation in northern Wisconsin is really being attacked by a foreign company with lots of money.
Yes, and I think, you know, the challenge is that Line 5 cuts through the heart of the reservation, directly bisects the Bad River Band's land. And it is today, as the lower court, federal court Judge Connolly found, at imminent risk of rupture. That is terrifying because it means in a matter of hours, if there is a rupture, there is a catastrophe for Lake Superior. And I think, notwithstanding the many talking points that one often hears about this story, there are two really important facts. One is that a series of rights that Enbridge had to operate this pipeline across the reservation over about 3 miles expired 10 years ago. In other words, they no longer have the legal right to operate the pipeline. I think that's really important to know, in addition to the pipeline today being at profound risk of rupture. The second point, and this often gets lost, this is not a story about oil or about how many consumers and Canadian consumers are dependent upon this oil. This is a pipeline that moves oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada. How it came to dip down into the United States when it was constructed in the 50s is really fascinating. But long story short, it was cheaper and easier to construct the pipeline through the United States than directly west to east in Canada. So in any event, you know, the Bad River Band has not benefited in any material way from the existence of this pipeline. The first 40 years were effectively free to the company to operate. But at the end of the day, I mean, we as a country, we're net exporters of oil. This has nothing to do about, really, this is not a story about oil at all. Mm-hmm. There are many, many ways to transport oil. And this is a story about a piece of aging infrastructure operating really in a place where it never belonged in the first place and where it no longer has the legal right to operate.
Wow, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about, especially when we were fighting Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 here in Minnesota and the Dakotas, we talk about the Kalamazoo rupture that, you know, pipelines leak, period. That's all we know. And sometimes we don't hear about them, and sometimes it's catastrophic.
Well, and I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. I mean, Kalamazoo and the epic disaster, it was line 6A and 6B that were Enbridge lines that that ruptured. I think it was the costliest inland oil spill in the history of America. And that, of course, was not very far away from the Bad River Band. And so the Bad River Band hears about Kalamazoo, and all of a sudden there's a conversation. Well, wait a minute. Aren't we sitting on Enbridge lines? Isn't that who's right? You know, aren't those lines right beneath our feet? Mm-hmm. And Enbridge, of course, their rights expired only 2 years after Kalamazoo. So Kalamazoo was fresh in the minds of the tribal council. And as elders recall and former tribal council members recall, they started asking the company very difficult questions. How old are these lines? Right? Today, the line is 70 years old, 71 years old. How safe is it? What's your data? You keep coming onto the reservation to do what you call anomaly digs. What's an anomaly? Why are you doing these digs? What are you doing when you do these digs? And as elders recall, there was a lack of transparency from the company in terms of what was truly happening, which led them to this confrontation in the first place, where they said, you know, you're asking us for a right to extend your operations here on the reservation, and we are not going to agree to that. And that was the opening salvo to this battle.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I have to say something too about this documentary, watching this. This is like one of the most beautifully shot and edited documentaries I've ever seen, even if it wasn't about what it's about with the content. I was just amazed by the beauty of the shots that you and your editor chose to take, along with the talking heads, of course. But there's some beautiful shots there and some vintage footage of like an Enbridge commercial. And it's an amazing visual documentary too. I just got to say that.
Oh, thank you for that. And you know, many people don't really realize sort of what goes into the making of these, but from a production standpoint, as you can imagine, given the remoteness of the area, right, it took a lot of people, you know, you got to house and feed them. And right, so we had a small, you know, village of people working on this, including, by the way, a number of Bad River members themselves. And we had, we shot on the Alexa, which is a sort of, you know, major Hollywood films are shot on the Alexa. We had drones, we had 4K drones. We lost one into the Bad River, which was, I think Chaz Connors tried to come to the rescue with a whole team of people, you know, diving into the Bad River looking for that missing drone. But we, you know, sort of my going in attitude is you have these extraordinary people fighting for something that is much bigger than all of us. And the visual story should reflect that sort of heroic and valiant effort.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Haley, we only got a couple minutes left here. I know you watched it too. What is your feeling? And do you have any questions for Mary before we end this great segment?
Yeah, I mean, the whole documentary was just an amazing piece of work, and including the visual shots, but also the soundtrack and the opening scene with the drum. And it just really draws you in right away. And I really appreciated the fact that you touched on a lot of subjects, like kind of how Allotment Act and how forced assimilation to larger cities kind of, you know, led to higher rates of substance abuse and the opioid epidemic, and also touched on crime and police brutality. So, I mean, all in all, the whole documentary is just, everyone needs to see this. So again, can we shout out kind of the platforms and where people can see this Bad River documentary?
Yes. So as I mentioned, we're just out of theaters, but people can view the film. If your listeners go to badriverfilm.com/dates, backslash, then we've got all kinds of events happening around the country. We have where you can personally stream it. The film will launch publicly onto a larger platform beginning on November 1st with Peacock, and our friends at Comcast, NBC Universal have been really extraordinary in terms of their support of the project. And so, we would be thrilled for your listeners to see the film. And then if they're so moved to take action, we do have a take action button as well on our website and ways you might consider donating to support the Bad River Band.
Wow, perfect. Mary Mazzio, Bad River documentary. Thank you so, so much for being on Native Roots Radio. We got to do this again real soon.
Oh, Robert and Haley, thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege, and really appreciate your thoughtful questions.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Weavens will be here to ring in the new year, and we'll discuss the biggest issues affecting everyday Americans headed into 2025.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jade, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Federal investigators say they no longer think the man who plowed a truck into a crowd in New Orleans, killing 14 people, had accomplices. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Reyes says the Army veteran posted five videos as he drove from Houston to New Orleans.
He stated he had joined ISIS before this summer. He also provided a will and testament.
CBS's Jason Allen is at the attacker's Houston home, which is being searched.
FBI investigators came in pretty forcefully, searching that trailer for any signs of planning for this attack, any signs that maybe some of the devices that were found in New Orleans had been put together here. They also had searched a Jeep that was on the property.
New Orleans Bourbon Street has reopened. CBS's Katie Weiss is there.
You know, Bourbon Street is known for being party central, and slowly but surely the crowds are gathering here again. People are coming out to have a good time, just like before.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program?